You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Yeah, commuting sucks, but these guys don't.
I think my food is all right.
Like it would be too basic.
I'm with you. Shake and bake and stuff like
Gordon
that.
Ramsay?
You know?
Accumulated. I throw in like a Delicio pizza.
Yeah. Accumulated.
All right, that's enough.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Well, when we call our shot, we call our shot. Step aside, Babe Ruth. The boys pointed to 4 o'clock and said by the time we got on here today, we would be talking about a Carlson trade.
Well, the Jerry's was 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it was 1 o'clock.
That was missed a little bit, but then we called it later.
Who won then?
Discussing.
Who
Nobody.
Won the Jerry's? I think I technically did, because I think I said 50% he would be traded by 1 o'clock, and technically the deal got done after 1 o'clock.
Wasn't it like 1:30?
Jerry's very particular, man.
You heard trickle down, though. There was a lot of trickle down. I got a text this morning from an unnamed source saying Carlson to San Jose. This is what I'm hearing.
Really?
I was like, interesting.
Well, something was brewing. I mean, the last couple of days, and Bobby Mack sent a tweet out this morning saying if a deal happens, it's going to be in the Western Conference.
That was cryptic.
Very cryptic. Now, it was either going to be Vegas or Dallas or, I guess, San Jose. I mean, I don't remember San Jose being connected at the trade deadline or really at the draft. But Eric Carlson is a San Jose Shark.
All I can think about all day is, okay, we get it. The owner came out, you're rebuilding. You traded Eric Carlson, you're rebuilding. You're starting your rebuild by giving the first overall pick, possibly, to the Colorado Avalanche, which is insane.
Ottawa still doesn't have a first round pick in 2019.
Yeah. That's insane considering you're rebuilding. Like
you're rebuilding.
You're scorching the earth.
Yes.
You're
going
to have to.
You're going to be you're planning on being awful.
Yeah.
You know, they are kind of tanking by osmosis because they were going to be that bad anyway, but Ottawa does not have a first round pick in 2019.
I was 100% sure that they were going to get a first round pick in 2019 for Eric Carlson. But they get one in 2020. Is there one for Stone?
Maybe I think
they've got to do something. You know what I mean? Stone or Duchesne, you got to get something back, right?
Or you sign them.
At some point,
you got to sign somebody.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Stone is in his mid-20s. Duchesne is in his mid-20s.
Yeah, they're both really good players.
Right. I would look to sign them, and my understanding is Ottawa would like to do the same thing. That news leaked out earlier in the week that they'd like to keep both guys. But those guys are UFAs at the end of the year. They can walk if they want to. They don't have to stay in Ottawa. And in reality, Ottawa gets what they deserve. This organization has been a tire fire for the past year or so. The owner has not done himself any favors. The reason they're in this position is because of the owner, not because of Carlson, in my opinion. He could have paid him. He could have made him feel warm and rosy and welcome and comfortable with the vision of the team. And by all accounts, that didn't happen. And Carlson was basically like, I'm out of here because I don't want to play for that owner. Yeah. That's why I think we're in the position we're in today.
And it's tough sledding for Ottawa Senators fans. If you go back through the track record, you're talking about Danny Heatley leaving, Jason Spezza leaving, Daniel Alfredson leaving, and now Eric Carlson. As a fan, you got to be thinking, like,
yeah,
and I know it's difficult for your star players to always stick around, but that's an insane list there of guys that are just...
Well, it comes back to what Brian said. Like, it had to be, like, doesn't matter what it takes, we're keeping this guy. And then you shape around it. You have to wonder how much of what Carlson went through last year, him and his wife Melinda, regardless, you know, maybe that was a factor. Looking at, hey, do I want to sign an 8-year extension when, you know, it may take 4 or 5 years to turn this around? Now, that's my prime playing. That's why I'm thinking Matt Duchesne and Mark Stone. Yeah, you want to give them a lot of money, great, but you're going to endure the pain because the pain is going to be here, and it's here for a while. It's not going to be here for 16 months. Like,
no.
There's no Austin. Like, Jack Hughes isn't coming.
No, because they don't have their own
pick.
Right, so
that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no.
Well, that's what it was. Like, he says the pain's coming, which I'm sick of that comment. But then Austin Matthews pops up on the radar, and you're like, okay, that lessens the pain.
It did lessen the pain.
And furthermore, they already had Marner and Nylander and other players on the team, where Ottawa doesn't, especially if they decide to trade Stone and Duchesne, who are now the two best players on the team.
Yeah.
If both of them go out the door, you are looking at 3 to 5 years of being atrocious.
Who the hell, don't they have to get to the floor if those guys leave?
Well, they're Bobby Ryan, guys like that. They've got guys who make money. It's you know, and you've acquired two NHL players in DeMelo and Tierney, and they're not bad NHL players. The problem with that is you're always going to be labeled with the Erik Karlsson tag. And we were talking off air, you know, guys like Brad Stewart and Wayne Primo and Marco Sturm, that's the Joe Thornton situation, but a lot different because, Brian, you pointed out, Thornton wasn't Karlsson's
superstar at that
yet.
Point. No, he won his MVP when he went to San Jose.
Exactly.
He had not established himself.
No, he won it the first year he was there. He won the MVP as part of Boston Bruins and San Jose.
Was it a split decision?
Yes, he won the MVP half the year in Boston, half in San Jose.
Oh, I didn't remember that. I didn't know it happened that year.
I just
year.
Remember it being labeled as not a very good trade.
Oh, you knew it at the moment. And, I mean, this on paper looks like there's an inequality here. Erik Karlsson is arguably the best defenseman in the world.
Yes.
You can make a strong case that he is. He's, what, 27 years old?
Yeah.
I know he's only got 1 year left on his deal, but still, Chris Tierney, Dylan DeMello, two prospects, a first and a second round pick. That doesn't add up to the third best player in the world.
And potentially another one if he signs an extension.
There's a condition. If he signs an extension with San Jose, they get another second round pick.
Ultimately, San Jose paid a rental price for a player, and if they add in another, they throw another pick in if they get him for 8 years.
Right. Now, San Jose,
you'll pay that every day of the week.
Absolutely. If you keep him and he's Erik Karlsson and he's healthy and he's all good. If Karlsson walks on San Jose, they have been trading picks and prospects left, right, and center for about 2 years.
Yeah.
They're all in and they're old.
They have to be, yeah.
They have the potential in 3 or 4 years to be an absolute dumpster fire in San Jose because Thornton's almost done anyway.
Yeah.
Burns is 33.
Yeah, Pavelski's 30 plus. Couture's pushing 30.
Like, yeah, they're right.
They're in win
they're
now.
They're all in right
now.
They have
to. And, hey, good on them. They're actually a really good team, and they fly under the radar. And it wasn't that long ago, weren't we calling San Jose the Leafs West?
Well, they had that one awful season that cost McClellan his job.
But Thornton was telling the GM to shut his mouth. And, like, there was, you know, they stripped a captaincy 2 years in a row or 2 out of 3 years with Marlowe and Thornton. Mm-hmm. Like, because it was in San Jose, a very far time zone away, not in the hockey hotbed, you've got two or three scribes that cover that team, but I remember saying
it was ugly, but that was 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah,
you know, and
it's
now
not the case anymore.
It's not the case anymore. They were in a cup final a couple of years ago, and they're a really good team. And if you're out west and you're in that division, if you're Edmonton and Calgary, you're like, really? This guy's coming to our division and we're fighting for spots with this guy. And again, if you're a Leaf fan, you're loving that Karlsson's out of the conference.
Yeah.
Like, my Leaf radar is going off everywhere here because it's too good to be true.
Yeah, he's out of Tampa Bay. He's in the West.
Like, think about what's happened this summer.
Think about
what's happened here in Toronto. They were the better team anyway of the Eastern Canadian teams. Everyone knows that. The Leafs are better than Montreal and Ottawa. But the Leafs had John Tavares. Ottawa trades Karlsson. Montreal trades Pacioretty. So the Leafs bring in a superstar captain, and Ottawa and Montreal trade their star captains. Like, it's almost too good to be true. Another shoe's got to drop here for Toronto, because in my lifetime of following this team, it never plays out this well and this smooth for this long.
Well, that goes back to how important it is to win the lottery and have Austin Matthews come here without choice, because he came here, he liked it. Because John Tavares, you think he'd be here right now if the Austin Matthews isn't here?
No, I don't think so.
No, you're right. Nope. But you also look like Karlsson doesn't go to Tampa. He doesn't go to an actual team that you are battling for position.
If you see him in the playoffs, you're in a cup final.
Right. He doesn't go to Boston. He doesn't go to Tampa.
It's a huge win for the Leafs.
It's a big win, yeah.
And for every team in the East that thinks they're competitive. Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Washington, Boston.
Well, San Jose's got two Norris winners on D. Like, that's Pronger and Niedermayer.
Yeah, they got Burns and Karlsson. Who were...
And Vlasic.
Like, and Vlasic, who's a really
underrated
player.
Who's a hell of a player.
Yeah. No, San Jose's loaded.
Where, like, where is Carl? Like, are they going to play Vlasic with Carlson and push Burns around? Like, I don't, like, that's the, it's a great problem to have, but like, there is, you know, first power play, what are you doing? You know?
I'm sure Peter DeBoer is going to have to work that out. And he'll be okay with
you. Just put Eric Carlson on the top and Joe Thornton on the one side, Logan Couture and Pavelski down in front of the net, and have Eric Carlson feeding Brent Burns one timers out the yin yang.
Yeah,
you probably play them both.
Yeah, well, I would, you put Carlson at the top and Burns on the offside, and he just bombs away.
He's got a bomb of a shot, and Eric's actually a really good passer. You're right. I think it'll work, but as we all know, and the Leafs are going to find that out, and it is. Very talented players. They all want the puck. They all want certain things. That's why you've got to find that chemistry, and they will. But it's kind of a little bit, or call it ass backwards, because they're built really strong on the back end. Now they got to get their forwards.
You're talking about San Jose.
San Jose.
Yeah, it's a lot like Nashville, right? Like
right.
That's how they're built. They're built from the net out. Martin Jones is a really good goalie.
Yep.
They're loaded on the back end. But Ottawa, they're all in on the rebuild. They're all in on, I don't know if it's a tank, because we expected them to be awful anyway, and now they're worse today
on
paper.
Just realistic, yeah.
But they still don't have a first-rounder in 2019. I think maybe the prospect with the most pressure on him in the whole league is now Brady Tkachuk, because he's got to pan out. Because they picked him at 4, as opposed to handing that pick over and keeping it for this year.
But that's what's crazy to think about. You knew this was coming, so why wouldn't you get it?
From a marketing standpoint, that decision looks even worse. But we'll get into it now with a guy who's very familiar with the team, the city, the market, from TSN Radio in Ottawa. Here's our good buddy. We haven't caught up with him in a while. Here's Brendan Bell. How you doing, Brendan?
What's going on, fellas?
We're talking about your hometown, man. What's going on out there? How are people feeling about this Carlson trade?
You know what? It's so crazy. I have to get out of town. I'm actually in Toronto right now. We were at the Senators golf tournament was yesterday, and myself and a couple of alumni and that were there. And it's been a circus, to be totally honest with you. Since Bobby Mack put him at the top of the trade board last year in February, it just seems like this was imminent. And we were waiting for the other shoe to drop, and here we are. You know, a couple hours ago, Eric Carlson is a San Jose Shark. It sounds crazy to say it.
In a way, is there relief, even, you know, regardless of what they got in return, but now the Band-Aid has been ripped off and you can officially start a new era in Ottawa? Could that be a mentality that is embraced by some of the fans?
Maybe. I mean, you know, this is kind of just, nobody wanted this to happen in the fan base. Nobody around the team. Eric Carlson didn't want this to happen. You know, you saw it in his press conference, and how emotional he was. I talked to him yesterday, and he said it's just sad. You know, it's sad the way that this whole thing is going. He goes, you know, it's strange to see that I'm the guy in the middle of it. Like, I'm an Ottawa guy now. I'm a Sens fan. You know, this community, these people deserve, you know, a good team and a good product on the ice, and it's just been, you know, the way that it's gone over the last 6 months or so. You know, it's taken too long to, as you say, rip the Band-Aid off. It's lagged on too long. There's been a number of things that have happened over the last year or so with the Ottawa Senators. It's disappointing. And, you know, I think that this is something that, and the way the messaging and the way that it was handled, you know, in that they make a trade in November they get rid of Kyle Turris, they bring in Matt Duchene, we're going to turn this thing around. And within a couple of months, you know, we're not going to do a rebuild. It's not a rebuild. We're not using the R word. And now here we are, total rebuild, multi-year plan to do the whole thing. You know, so it's kind of hard to wrap your head around where this team is headed.
Beller, the guys in the locker room, they're saying the right things. They're putting on the face. But what are guys like Duchene, Stone? I mean, the franchise player is gone. I mean, I just don't know. I've been in locker rooms where if that guy leaves the dressing room, it's just, you're miserable before the first day of on ice even starts.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know what, Noodles, you know what, like it's a crazy situation to find yourself in, because now we're in a situation where Matt Duchene and Mark Stone are your two best players, and they're both UFAs at the end of the season. What are they going to do? You know, I mean, Mark Stone is a really, really good hockey player, very underrated by people outside of the Ottawa market. 26 years old, making 7.3, 7.5, somewhere in that range this year. he's UFA next year. You know, how are you going to get him on board? How are you going to keep him around?
You're not.
You know, when your own, well, there's the short answer. When your owner and your general manager are saying this is going to take a number of years. Matt Duchene, you know, the first thing he said when he came to Ottawa was, you know, it was exhausting losing and being part of a rebuild and you know, going through all that in Colorado. Well, here you are, back in this situation again. How are you going to convince these guys to play? You know, it's, on the one hand, you look at it and go, well, they're going to be good in a couple of years. You know, you guys here in Toronto have seen it. You know, you can go from bad to good pretty quickly when you amass draft picks and you know, you're picking in the lottery every year. But that this, you know, from where we were in 2017 to where we are now, it's crazy.
Well, Beller, we were talking about that. You can rebuild if you get the right pieces, but they're going to be starting off by giving possibly Jack Hughes to Colorado. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs got Austin Matthews, and that's a big step. Handing it over to somebody else because of a trade, that's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I say the way that just the messaging and the way that it was handled is so interesting and so, you know, concerning, frankly, that, you know, if this really was a plan, they traded away a first round pick. They traded away this, they traded away Shane Bowers and a first round pick along with Kyle Turris for Matt Duchene. And, you know, if we're being realistic here, is Matt Duchene going to stay come July 1st next year? I doubt it. So what did you do just giving away two of your picks? You know, the cupboard isn't exactly full here. You know, they're starting to amass some picks and they're starting to, you know, they've had some picks in the top 10 over the last few years. They've got some good young players. But it's not as though, you know, they're brimming with, you know, high end talent.
With former Leafs and Sens defenseman and TSN radio analyst in Ottawa, Brendan Bell, when it rains, it pours in Ottawa. There are now reports coming out on Twitter that Jean-Gabriel Pageau is out for 4 to 6 months to repair an Achilles tendon issue.
Mm-hmm. So fitness testing.
Fitness testing, and he blew out his Achilles.
Oh, my Lord.
Like, how is Ottawa... I don't even know what to expect.
This is awful. Like,
how many points?
He's like, a solid player.
Like, he's a very good player. He's a good depth centerman.
This is 50. This is Colorado. This is 50 points.
This could be one of the worst teams we've seen. Like, this is Buffalo. It's Colorado. Are you bracing yourself for that?
Stop. I got to do pre- and post-game shows, guys. Oh.
Hey, Beller, you know where I'll be there,
too. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not pretty. And I, you know, Pager is a really solid player, a guy that can play up and down your line. And it's going to be asked to play a second line role with this team, you know, based on what they've got. And 4 to 6 months, it's devastating. You know, the hits just keep coming. I mean, between the Carlson stuff, some of the ownership issues, you know, the Hoffman thing that went down, like, it's just the negativity is crazy.
How was the video received locally? I mean, we, you know,
the Melnick and Mark Borvieski.
Yeah, the between two ferns, like the that's what we call it.
Yeah, exactly. We can just call it the video. Yeah.
The video.
You know, like it was this summer was interesting because, you know, Eugene Melnick has become a bit of a lightning rod, and you know, every time he spoke over the course of last year, you know, something would happen. Something. You know, there would be a ton of blowback on it. And so this summer was great in the sense that he just went quiet. He went dark, and there wasn't, you know, like, there wasn't a lot of discussion. There was a ton of discussion and a ton of rumors and that, but they didn't address the Carlson stuff. Everything just went quiet. And, you know, they hired a new chief marketing officer, chief financial officer. The executive, like, the offices at CTC look totally different than they did a year ago. And this is how they, you know, opened the season with Mark Borvieski, who is a real good contributor to the Senators lineup, and a really, really solid guy and a solid citizen and Ottawa born and bred. But he's interviewing your owner wearing a 7-year-old Ottawa Senators jersey. It was just really, really strange.
He shouldn't have done. Like, I know he's a stand-up guy, Beller, but I mean,
well, he has the right to tell somebody.
I know, but he has the right to tell somebody, get Brent Wallace to do it or somebody. Why am I doing it? Like, come on, that's ridiculous.
No question, but they put him in that situation.
Yeah, but he could have said
He could have said no, but he's getting paid by him, you know, and it's I know what you're saying.
I'm getting paid by
saying.
TSM, but if they want me to wear a chicken suit and hold the chicken sign on the road out front of here, I'm going to say no. Free chicken across the street, I'm going to say no. I'm not doing that.
You've absolutely got the right to say no, but you know as well as anybody, there's some things, and, you know, and again, Mark Borvieski's not a... you know, a superstar by any stretch. So when they ask about this, you know, they know he's going to say yes. And it wasn't what Sens fans were looking for. I can say that. I can say that as a you know, a member of the community, a member of the media, and a fan, frankly. You know, like the Sens, I like the Sens. I like watching the Sens. I'm invested in that team. And that was not what I was looking for.
Good luck this season, Brendan. I'm sure we'll be calling and bothering you many, many times. We look forward to it.
Take it easy on us, eh, fellas?
We'll
hey,
try.
Beller, one last thing. Did you ever think that Carlo Koliakovo would have his own radio show?
Hey, man, I love it. I love it.
There's an endorsement. I love it.
We just got to keep him healthy. Make sure he doesn't trip over.
We're going to get Carlo to wear the chicken suit at TSN.
Yeah. Right. He's the rookie around here.
Yeah, are there bubble wraps in that studio? You just make sure Coco's okay.
It's in his contract. We've just had it installed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Beller. Appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Anytime.
Brendan Bell, TSN radio analyst, former Leaf and Sen defenseman. Erik Karlsson, a San Jose Shark, for Chris Tierney, a forward, Dylan DeMello, a defenseman, depth guys, couple of prospects, and a first and second round pick. And now, Jean Gabriel Pageau could be out for 4 to 6 months.
That's a big blow. Like,
you know what it is when you put it all together?
Accumulated.
That's what it is for Sens fans.
You might as well get all of it out of the way now. Yeah. Everybody get injured, trade everybody.
Well,
shut guys down.
Here's the thing. You're Craig Anderson, and you're 36 years old. Like, there's going to be some real lean nights.
How about your boy Dion? Luckily, he got out of there. Marion Gaborik is still technically playing there.
Yeah, he's injured.
He ain't playing.
I don't think he's gonna.
I don't think he's showing up in Ottawa.
I think they've got. I mean, he could be an LTI guy. Mm-hmm. That would be my
someone. Guess. This is how I feel for the guy who gets traded there from a cup contending team at the deadline.
Yeah,
because that's what's it'll be the Brooks Like move. Brooks Like had the same thing. He had to come to Toronto when they were a dumpster fire 3 years ago. Yeah. And that's going to happen.
And the Leafs treated him so well.
And they
right to the minors.
Right to the minors, and then basically you're no longer a part of the organization.
And they took his skates away in the minors.
Someone is going to get that treatment and get traded from a very good team at the deadline to Ottawa.
Well, did that happen at all this year for Washington? Did Washington move anybody at the deadline? Because there's always, I remember Ben Scrivens got traded from L.A. to Edmonton. And they called Martin Jones up, and L.A. went on to win the Cup. Like, there's always one where at the deadline a guy goes the other way, and that team goes on and wins the Cup. Some sting. Like, those, especially if you're like a long-term guy. Well, that happened to you, technically, right? But you didn't get traded at the deadline.
I got traded in the summer, and then Carolina won the Cup.
Yeah, so that's a less of a blow.
Mm-hmm. But and like, you wanted talking, to be in Toronto.
But you're right. Yeah. You're talking... Like, you've gone through thick and thin with that team, and you get traded.
That's what I'm saying.
Like March 1st or whatever the date is at that point.
Because you know it's coming. Like, Ottawa, whoever they can trade, they're going to trade and try to accumulate as many picks and prospects. Yeah. They have to.
If they trade Duchesne at the deadline, and it's a big haul, it's a first-rounder, but there's going to be set. You got to retain salary. So somebody's coming back. So it happens. But
yeah. Godspeed to whoever that poor soul will be. Because Ottawa is bracing themselves. This is a 3 or 4 year. This is Buffalo.
This is
Buffalo from 3 years ago.
The Leafs were 4 years ago.
But the Leafs turned it around really quick once they actually embraced the tank.
Plus, here's the other thing the Leafs were able to do: buy their way out of a lot of problems.
And
Ottawa's not going to buy.
This owner is not doing that. And that's the guy who deserves the criticism for the position they're in. Like, by all accounts, Karlsson was speaking with the media, and he said, they're going to live here the rest of their lives. His wife is from here. It's too bad it got to this point.
Right.
Basically saying, if we had a different owner, I don't think I'd be leaving.
Yeah, and there's a lot of cryptic. There's a lot of cryptic message in there.
Yeah, and I feel for the GM, Pierre Dorion, because he's got to operate in that kind of atmosphere, but he's got a huge job ahead of him, and he better strap in because they're not going to sell any tickets. Wait until the Leafs roll through there for the first time. It'll be 90% Leaf fans for games. Talk about trolling and just kicking someone when they're already in the dirt. Wait until obnoxious Leaf fans roll in there. on a Saturday night late in the season.
The Leafs fans were obnoxious when they were last in the league. Now when they're going to be close to first, they'll be unbearable.
Wait until this season. Noodles, you have never seen anything like it.
I believe me. I'm fine with it. They're a good team, but like I say, it's, you got to do something. You got to win a round,
yeah,
and then you can have something to talk about.
Okay. The Leafs showed up for camp. There was some news that came out of it. We'll tell you about that next. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider in studio at 5. Carson Palmer on the show at 5:40. Heisman winner, first overall pick. The Bengals are playing the Ravens tonight at home, so he's familiar with Cincinnati and the AFC North. And
you go to USC?
USC. I got to ask him what it was like being a stud quarterback at USC.
May have to get the Musburger sound out.
What kind of routine did Carson Palmer have at USC?
Doesn't he just go, woo?
That was from McCarron's girlfriend.
That was McCarron.
I know, but I mean...
What a beautiful woman. Wow.
AJ's doing...
Whoa. Whoa.
Hey, you're right, though. McCarron was a stud at Alabama.
I know,
it's the
but
same
what I'm
thing,
saying, man. It's the same, you know...
Yep. No, you're right.
Same treatment.
I'll bet you we could find some Musburger audio about Carson Palmer. I'll bet you if we dug deep enough.
I think it's hilarious that Musburger doubled down on Twitter.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's like 70 something. He's had a great career. What does he care now?
Plus, it was tongue in cheek, but of course, people were.
Yeah. You're not allowed to acknowledge outraged that a woman is beautiful anymore. You're not allowed to do that in 2018.
I totally agree.
Not allowed.
The days of saying you look nice today, they're over. You can't even say that. I'm not.
Well, you just don't do it anymore.
Can't do it.
Just move on.
Darren Dreger in studio at 5, Carson Palmer at 5:40. What went down at the MasterCard Center today? The Leafs showed up for day one of camp. We'll tell you about that in 2 minutes. All right, Darren Dreger in studio at 5. Dregs was down at the MasterCard Center today. The Maple Leafs showed up. Except for William Nylander, who still doesn't have a contract. And I love how Babcock, using the media to send a bit of a message to him, was asked about Matthews saying over the summer that Matthews would like to accumulate more assists this year.
Pass a little bit more.
Babcock said something along the lines of,
get Willie back in here.
And then start putting it under the bar and blah, blah, blah. And,
yeah.
You know, Tyler Ennis, I guess, is going to take Nylander's spot on that line.
As I don't know what's happened to Tyler Ennis over the last 2 or 3 years, but there was a time I really enjoyed watching him play in Buffalo. He had speed, he had skill, he could make things happen. I don't know what kind of problems he's run into, but
yeah,
who knows? The Washington Capitals had a bunch of projects last year.
It's a flyer, right? They're not paying him anything.
No.
It's basically a PTO. And
well, what it is if it doesn't work out, he goes to the minor leagues. And I mean, they have 5 or 6 guys that are on one-ways down there that make $650 to $1 million, and the Leafs can... That's couch cushion money for them.
For them, it's nothing. It's nothing. Instead of spending money to buy guys out or making guys disappear, they're actually spending the money to play them with the Marlies and have them as depth options
and help out. Yeah.
But I guess the biggest news that came out today, Babcock sat down with Dreger and said that Tavares, Marleau, and Riley are going to be the A's this year. So they will have A's on their jersey. There will not be a captain to start the season, and naturally, Leaf fans are wondering where Austin Matthews comes into this. And I thought Babcock's explanation was pretty good. Do we have that audio of Babcock explaining exactly how this played out? Why don't we play this courtesy of Dregs and Babcock and TSN earlier today?
Well, there's no indecision. I mean, Dubie and I talked a ton about this. So the guys that will wear letters for us this year are Marleau, Tavares, and Riley. I mean, when you look at Jake Gardner, you look at Nazem Kadri, you look at Hainsey, it's another group. Then there's the group of Maddie, Mitchie, and Willie. Then there's Hyman and Brown, who do it right every single day. Our leadership group is very, very good.
Which I think he's right about. I mean, when you consider where they were a number of years ago, they didn't have that many options. And
there's layers now.
There's layers. And Matthews is a young guy. He's been in the league for 2 years. This doesn't mean they don't think highly of him. I'm sure they've had these conversations with him. They know what he would like. He said it on the record this summer. He'd like to be the captain. Right. There isn't a captain right now. Marleau and Tavares are obvious choices. you know, they're former captains. They've been in the league for a long time. They've won gold medals for Canada.
Yeah, they've done everything.
And everything we've all heard about Morgan Riley is he is the guy in the room.
Yep.
He's the guy that brings all the young guys and the older guys together. He's kind of the linchpin.
Yep. I agree.
So I don't think there's really much to read into this. I don't think Matthews is going to have a down year because he doesn't have a letter on his jersey. And eventually he's going to have one. Whether it's the C or not is left to be determined. I don't know.
That's it. It's over after today. You don't have to debate it. Possibly setting up. The one thing I don't like about it is I was in Guelph, I think my second year of junior, and I knew, and I think basically everybody knew, that I was the captain of the team. All myself, right. Along with Todd Bertuzzi, were the two best players in the team. And I was basically the captain, but they didn't want to offend Todd Bertuzzi. They didn't want to do this, so they gave it to like an older veteran defenseman who was a solid guy in the room, but they just wanted to avoid... That's the only thing. I felt slighted. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm the captain of this team. Just put the captaincy on my jersey. And they gave me like an A for the road, and it's just like, really?
Everybody knew the deal. Here's one thing we have to remember. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes with this team.
I get it.
Like, we don't know Austin Matthews. Maybe I don't get this impression, but maybe he's very immature. Or maybe they're like, you know what, there's something we see here where we want to give him some more time.
I was saying that before the show to somebody that they obviously see something that they feel it's just not time. And if he's going to be the captain, maybe it's a year from now. Maybe it's when they sign him to a long extension and they unveil a C on his jersey at the press conference. I could see them doing something like that, but I don't think they have to be in a rush. Like it's.
They really don't, Gene. We've talked about this, and put it this way. Thank Christ.
But if this is the biggest problem you have coming into the training camp, and you've got a contract to be signed, and you've got who's going to be the captain in the future. Not a bad place to be in, considering the teams that we were talking about last segment.
Well, and this is also another reality check for a lot of people that don't understand the way pro sports works. You don't get everything you want,
right.
And there's a process that comes with it. And what we've noticed ever since Tavares was signed here, there is a portion of the fan base that is nervous how Matthews is going to react to everything.
Right.
And that's because he's an American kid from Arizona, and he's the best young player this team has maybe ever had. And they want him to feel good here. They want him to be comfortable. They want him to embrace being a Maple Leaf. Meanwhile, everything he's ever said or done has led to me believing he loves it here and wants to play here for a long, long time.
Right.
But this is just another example of overanalysis based on anxiety that Matthews is going to snap one day and be like, you didn't give me the captain, and I don't like Canada, and I'm out of here. And that's not the way it works. And if he has that kind of reaction, that's on him.
Yeah.
Like, what this team has done very well the past few years, because don't forget where we were a few years ago, where the inmates were running the asylum. Austin Matthews has to step in line just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You can't treat him like he's the greatest thing in the world. Now, you treat him with respect.
Yes.
And is he their best player? Yes.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that just because that's the case, he gets to be handled differently than other players, or he gets treatment different than other players.
Great
when it comes to big, you know, significant moments like this.
And this is, I just feel like they have a timeline. I'm sure Kyle and Babs have talked about it. But I like the decision, and there's no wrong decision in that, because Marlowe's got 1,500 games. Tavares just signed here, and he's, like you said, he's been a captain. And Morgan Riley, they've seen him work behind closed doors. I've said this, like, I get that impression. He's been on the show multiple times. We love the guy. He's very personable, very confident in his ability. I get the impression that he is the unofficial captain of that room anyways. But, again, if you want to go with the best player, if that's the formula, because, well, McDavid got it, and you know, I saw today, wasn't two captaincies handed out today? Your boy Willie in Carolina got it, and somebody else.
Ekman-Larsson got it.
Yeah, Ekman-Larsson got it in Arizona. Well, I mean, good for them, but those organizations are in different situations. So that's fine. You can't just compare. Okay, well, the Leafs better have a captain because Arizona.
No, totally different.
Who cares?
Absolutely. You can't operate based on what other teams are doing.
Right.
But I also think, and this is me just speculating, but his contract may be connected to some of this. Because if you hand him the captaincy, what that can do, that's more leverage for his side.
Right.
Okay, well, I was getting paid this anyway. You're not going to give your captain what I'm asking for?
Yeah.
Like, they're in for a battle. Like, we're seeing what's going on here with Nylander. They're in for a battle with Matthews, too.
You're right. That's a fair point. That's probably a factor in what's going
on
here.
There's multiple layers to what's going on. That's why we can't sit back and just judge, because we're not privy to what's, you know, what they're feeling from a management standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And so, Babcock used his Detroit experience as an example of what he wants to see play out here. He said, when Lidstrom was the captain, all four parties would have voted for that and believed that should have been the case. He said, ownership, management, coaches, players.
Right.
And then when Lidstrom retired, the owner, the GM, the coach, and the players all immediately said, clearly Zetterberg's the guy.
Right.
He said, we're going to wait to see how that plays out here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important point. I mean, the captain of the Maple Leafs is a prestigious position. It's an important position.
Right.
Comes with a lot of responsibility. And the owner, the GM, the coach, and the players all probably should be on the same page.
Yeah.
I've gotten my calendar here next week.
Yes.
Leafs, Sens. Are you between the benches?
Yeah, I am.
That'll be a doozy, Noodles.
Well, it's preseason.
I know.
So you're going to get the, you know, 10 jobbers playing and 10 NHL players. Now, I think it's in Ottawa, though. It's not here, is it?
I think it's in Ottawa.
So you're going to have, I mean, who knows?
That'll be the first little sniff, though, what the temperature is.
You won't see, though. But you won't see.
You won't see.
I doubt Matthews and those guys make the trip. They'll send one layer of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's Tavares and Kadri, or maybe it's Matthews and Kadri, but I don't think they'll send the two big lines anytime early on in preseason.
No
but
way.
Yeah, I've got
they'll
that
do
circle.
One heater line
at
home.
I think it's the 19th. I'm calling that game.
Yeah, they're
Maple Leafs and Senators.
In the preseason, teams are always more concerned with their home lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, their own fans are paying money to show up. They're going to play their best players.
The road is an ugly lineup. Sometimes.
Yeah, early on, too.
Early on, yeah.
Like the first two or three games, it is.
Unless you're me.
Well, they wanted you to
Paul
be in
Maurice,
shape.
Halifax. I'm with the Leafs. Going with an all-rookie lineup tonight. I want to give some guys recognition for great training camps. All rookies. Jeff, you're in, too. I'm like. Guys were, like, at bars drinking beers all day, like veteran guys having a fun day.
You're gearing up for a game.
Oh, yeah.
Halifax.
He basically told me, he's like, if Nicky Antropov didn't get banged up, this is his exact comment, we would have cut you loose. We would have cut you loose.
It's a confidence builder.
Before camp starts.
Was that year two with the Maple Leafs?
Yeah.
So you were a vet on that team, too. Forget about just being a vet in the league.
How we would have cut you loose.
Did you have a bad summer? Like, did you come in not in shape?
A little meaty, but not bad.
Me. You're coming up a 20-goal season the year before.
But yeah. It came in
blew out my shoulder, though. That kind of put me on the couch a little bit.
Was that the JFJ, like the... weren't you close? There was some sort of like...
Oh, yeah. I blew out my shoulder. Yeah. My first game as a Maple Leaf, I blew out my shoulder. And then JFJ apparently couldn't read an MRI.
Well, and it was of course he can't. Could you read an MRI?
Well... They knew exactly what it was, but it's like, no, we don't know, we don't know. And then at the end of the year, yeah, we kind of think it's something. I'm like, thanks, JFJ. So why have I been playing?
Fergie.
Then the last game, I say, okay, you know what, I'm playing. Get 19 goals, and then Fergler's like, I can't confirm or deny, but I'm taking you out the last game for Jeremy Williams. What does he do? He scores my 20th goal. Guy's such a loser.
That would have been on your stick.
Yeah.
In the net, courtesy of 92.
And you guys wonder why I think that guy's a turkey. There's 100 stories. It never ends.
We all have our turkeys in the league, but...
He is turkey number one
for you.
Right. Dreger in studio at 5, Carson Palmer at 5:40. Big, big day in the NHL. The Maple Leafs reporting for camp today. Erik Karlsson is in San Jose now.
Tyler Seguin signs a monster deal we haven't even touched on.
We got to get to that because I think he left some money on the table.
First thing I thought of, again, from a Leaf perspective, Seguin's at 9.85. Tavares is at 11. They're in the same ballpark as a player.
But I think that hurts Willie Nylander.
That's an interesting kind of angle.
9-8 for Sagan.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get into all that in the next hour. Dregs will be in studio. We might catch up with Ray Ferraro at some point today as well. They did a great job with that Humboldt game last night. Exceptional, exceptional job. And Carson Palmer is coming up at 5:40.